Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to the Candle Shore Podcast. This is show number 35. Okay, today we're going to be talking about the iPhone 3GS, and most of what I'll be talking about will apply to the iPhone 3G, as long as you have version 3.0 of the operating system. I will be going through the settings menu, and I will be using the voice over screen reader, and I will not be covering every item in the settings menu because some of the items are very specific to the type of connection you'll be using. I will get to eventually everything when I cover all of the specific items. For example, in the future, where we'll do one on setting up email or configuring a Wi-Fi network. And in those broadcasts, we will cover those menus in detail. But for now, we're going to go through the general settings menu. If you have a phone with you and you want to follow through, by all means do so. We're going to get started right now. I am at the home screen or on the home screen. I'm going to open up the settings menu.
Settings.
The first item in the settings menu is airplane mode. It comes from the days when airlines would advise passengers to turn off any transmitters that they may have on their PDAs or cell phone. When you engage this feature, it disables all of the transmissions that are coming from the iPhone. During this podcast, I don't want to receive any phone calls, nor do I want to receive any emails or SMS messages. So to prevent that, when I engage the airplane mode, and it's just a toggle between on and off, then any messages that I might receive will be held in a queue or will go directly to voicemail. So it's very convenient. And that is airplane mode. Okay, the next item on the settings menu is
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, and I have a wireless network here at the house, but you can also use it for, like I said, home networking. If you want to go to a public venue where they have a access point, this is how you would engage the radio by setting it up. Now, again, in this particular show, I won't go into the details of Wi-Fi, but understand that this is the menu that it would be configured under. The next item on the settings menu is the sounds menu, and this is an important one. I'm going to select it.
Sounds.
Now I'm in the sounds menu. In this sounds menu, the first thing we'll look at are the sounds that the phone will take in terms of incoming calls. You have a couple of choices. You can have it set for silent or vibrate. You can turn the vibratory feedback on or off. We will also tell us what the current volume of the ringtone will be. Let's take a look at that.
Silent.
And mine says silent, which means that the silent is off, which means the phone is, if it were to ring, I would hear it. It wouldn't just go right to voicemail.
Vibrate. Switch. On.
Currently, when I receive a phone call, my phone will not only play a ringtone, it also vibrates. I know you know about the switch on the left-hand side that is called the silent switch of the phone. If I were to engage that switch, it would disable the ringtone, but the vibration would still go on.
Sound volume, 80%, adjustable.
So right now, my phone is ringing at 80%. Obviously, you can adjust that easily enough.
Ringtone, mark ring 4. Button.
Now, I have a custom ringtone on the phone, one I've actually had for, all my smartphones. It's one that I used. I recorded it from my home phone using a digital recorder and simply saved it as an MP3 file, copied it onto my phone. So regardless of what phone I own, I will, if possible, will always use this as my ringtone. It's easy to hear. It requires no brain power to figure out, is that my phone or somebody else's phone? Okay, I'm going to open up the ringtones menu.
Mark ring 4. Selected.
So we have Mark Ring 4. That's the name I gave, and that's selected.
New text message.
I'll just run through a couple of them here.
New text message. Selected.
Okay, right. I'm just going to
Marimba.
Go through some of them.
Marimba. Selected. Ascending. Ascending. Selected. Bark. Bark. Selected. Bell tower. Bell tower. Selected. Buying. Buying. Selected.
That's kind of cute. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, so that's how you would select the ringtone. So I'm going to go back.
Bark. Ascending. Alarm. Marimba. Standard. Reminder. New voicemail. New text, new email, Mark Ring 4.
You want to hear what mine sounds like?
Mark Ring 4, selected.
So anyway, that's the one. Again, mine's kind of boring, but at least I know it's my phone ringing, and I kind of gotten used to it. So I'm going to leave that selected, and I'm going to exit this menu. The next one after ringtone is
new text message, tritone.
New text message, and for the new text message, I have a tritone. The next one is
new voicemail, switch on.
And this tells us, of course, that when we get a new voicemail, we'll get a notification. I'm not going to go through each one of these because they're pretty self-explanatory, including calendar alerts, reminders, and so forth. But there is one I want to point out.
Keyboard clicks.
Keyboard clicks. Now, when you're typing or entering a text message or any kind of text editing field, I like to hear a click as I press on the screen the virtual keyboard. And that pretty much wraps it up for the sound menu. The next item in the settings menu is one of my favorites. It's the brightness menu item.
Brightness.
Now I'm in the brightness menu, and we have a couple of choices. You can set it to be a custom brightness by selecting the area that tells you the percentage, and I'll demonstrate it.
75%, adjustable.
Right now I have my brightness set to 75%, and if I want to change that, I'm going to simply swipe my finger.
63%, 50%,
I'm just
adjustable.
Swiping downward as I do this, and the screen is getting darker.
25%, 13%, 0%, adjustable.
Now, right now it's saying that it's 0%. Zero does not mean it's absolutely off. In fact, if you had no light on in the room at all, if there was complete black, you could actually still see the display, but it's very, very low. I'm going to swipe up.
13, 20, 38, 50, 63, 75%.
And I'm leaving it at 75%. Please note that obviously the brighter the display, the more battery power that is used. Moving to the next item where it says auto brightness, we do have an auto brightness feature, which is very useful. And basically it means that in brighter light, because of the proximity sensor that is part of the phone, in daylight, the phone will not be as bright. And obviously as it gets darker, the display will adjust itself accordingly so that you can see it. Okay, I'm back in the settings menu, backed out of brightness. The next item is wallpaper. To be honest with you, I haven't spent much time with this, but suffice me to say, it pretty much does what it says it does. It's where you can select what picture will be displayed when the phone is in lock mode and you have it being displayed, assuming that you're not playing any music or any kind of media. Now, this next item is a very big one. It's got a lot of things underneath it. We're going to go through it. This is the general menu item under settings.
General.
So I'm at general. I'm going to activate it. Some of these menu items in the general submenu are pretty self-explanatory, like the first one says about. That'll give you the version number, just various information that you might need or someone may request of you. I won't go into this at this point because there's really nothing you can do with it. The next one after about.
Usage.
Okay, it's going to give you all kinds of statistics about how long you've had the phone powered on. And there, you can look in the user's manual for this. Again, it's kind of neat, kind of a neat feature.
Network.
Networks. The only one in here that I want to go through with you is about the 3G network. If you live in an approved area, I shouldn't say approved, I should say an area that is equipped with 3G data service from, in this case, AT&T, it will load, using it consumes more power, but it will load data faster if you're surfing the web. Now, right now mine is not enabled, and we can confirm that.
Network, enable 3G.
Mine says enable 3G, which means that it is currently disabled. When 3G is not on, you're using the standard edge network, which is a little bit slower. I find, however, since I do have a home network set up here, you don't need both at the same time. So if I were going to be surfing the web here in the house, I would most likely use the Wi-Fi connection. However, if I'm out someplace and I know I need to make sure I get a phone call and I'm not certain of the coverage, I may enable the 3G. But it doesn't have to be on. You can leave it on, but if you're worried about, if you find that you're not getting enough battery power out of the phone, or if you find that you're in a, like again, a pretty urban area where data connection or even phone signal is not a problem, you may try running with just the edge network and see if you need the 3G. It really is a personal choice, but I like to leave it off unless I absolutely need it. This is a very useful menu. Okay, the next menu item after network is
Bluetooth.
Understand that this is where you would set up your Bluetooth device. Very simple to do. Currently, you can have the iPhone 3GS paired with as many Bluetooth devices as you would like. However, you can only have one Bluetooth item connected at any one time. I have a Samsung Epix. At any point in time, I would have my Bluetooth external GPS receiver. And at the same, I have that connected, and at the same time, I would also have a Bluetooth headset on. So that's two Bluetooth devices. And in fact, there have been times when I've even had a Bluetooth keyboard, three items. But currently, Apple doesn't support that on the iPhone 3GS. So I could have all three of those same devices paired with the iPhone. I could not use all of them at the same time, only one at a time. The next item is called location services. Two things to note on this. One, I generally leave mine off. Part of it's to save battery power. The other part is there's really no need for anybody to know where I am unless I'm actually going to be using a software application like Google Maps. There's a couple of applications in the iTunes store, the App Store. When an application wants to ascertain your location, it'll ask you if it can turn on the location services, or it will request that you turn it on yourself. The second item to note on this is if you are going to use the find feature, or the erase from MobileMe, in order to use the more advanced features of MobileMe, in order for it to find your phone or to erase the data remotely, you have to have the location services turned on. And it's very funny because I actually have a MobileMe account and I love it. One of the reasons I got MobileMe was so in case the phone got lost, I could erase all the data, and yet I keep the location services off. Go figure. The next item in this menu, the general's menu, is
auto lock. Never
is the auto lock feature, and because of this podcast that I'm doing, I have it set to never. Otherwise, after a specific amount of time, the screen would go black, and I would hear the term lock, and I couldn't do anything with the phone. This feature is a very nice feature. It protects conserves battery power. It would keep someone from accidentally activating a feature on the phone. So let's look at it very quickly here.
Auto lock, 1 minute.
You can have it set to 1 minute. And I think 1 minute is the way it will be when it comes from the factory when you get it out of the box. So if there's no activity on the phone, after 1 minute, the screen will lock. This also includes media. So when you say no activity, it doesn't mean that the phone isn't performing something. It means you're not interacting with the phone. Were I to play a song right now and let it sit, even when the song reached the 1 minute mark, and assuming I haven't touched the phone, changed any volume settings or anything, then the screen would still lock. The music would continue to play, but the screen would be disabled. You can still receive phone calls, and you can even engage the voice control feature. But it's a way to just prevent accidental activation of the device. We have 1 minute. We have 5 minutes.
2 minutes. Button. 3 minutes.
2 minutes.
Button.
3 minutes.
4 minutes. Button. 5 minutes. Button.
And
never selected.
And again, whenever you know you're going to be using extended, even if for an extended amount of time, this is the one you want. Otherwise, like I said, I'd be being constantly put in lockdown mode. We don't want that. Okay, the next feature after the auto lock is the passcode lock, which is one of my favorite features because this works in conjunction with the automatic lock. The way it usually works, when the phone is locked or the screen is disabled because of the lock, or if you manually lock the screen by pressing once on the power button, in order to unlock the phone, you simply press on the power button. And depending on how you're interacting with the phone, you will either slide the lock to the right to unlock it or double tap on the lock key and it will unlock. That's fine. This is also the same procedure when you turn the phone on every time you power it on. You can put a passcode on this so that in order to unlock it, you must enter a series of numbers. This will prevent someone who is unauthorized from getting into your phone. Those of you who are using VoiceOver, understand that when you enter the code, it will not be encrypted. So you either need to put your headset on or something other, because VoiceOver will speak the numbers as you dial them in. Still, it's a nice feature to have, and if you have any secure data, things you don't want people sharing or share with people, not a bad idea to get in the habit of using it. The passcode lock can also be engaged at a series of times from 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour, up to 4 hours, or of course you can have it disabled. Very nice feature. And now some people might be afraid to use it because you think, well, you know what, if I forget the code, I can't get back into my phone. And by the way, that's absolutely correct. One last feature on this that you can enable with the passcode lock, and that is if the code is entered incorrectly 10 times, it will automatically erase all data on the phone. Now, I don't have that set. I don't think I would ever mistype it 10 times, But frankly, I'm just too paranoid. But that is a feature that you can engage in the passcode lock. In fact, you know what I'll do? Let's go through it real quick so we can take a look.
Passcode lock. Turn passcode off.
Okay, so this is where you're going to enable it or disable it.
Change passcode button.
If you have already entered a passcode, you can change it at this menu.
Erase data.
Erase data. This is what I was just talking about. If the data is entered, I think it's 10 times incorrectly, the phone's going to erase itself. There won't be anything for anybody to take except the device itself.
Erase data. Switch off button. Erase all data on this iPhone after 10 failed passcode attempts.
Okay, that's an explanation of what will happen. Just going down the menus here.
Require passcode after 4 hours button.
Okay, so you can have, this is where you can change where the pass, how often the passcode is engaged.
Voice dial, switch off button.
One option that you have under the passcode is when the passcode is engaged, unless you put in the proper number, you will not be able to use voice dialing. Most people will leave this off because the reason they really would want to engage the passcode is for people not to read things. But you can still have this passcode engaged and still use the voice dial to make calls or to play media. That's pretty much all there is for this particular menu. It's a very useful item. I recommend that you familiarize yourself with it. It can add a lot of security to your iPhone 3GS. Okay, the next item in the list is going to be...
Restrictions. Off.
Is a restrictions menu. Now, I'm not going to cover this, but this would be really useful for people who have minor children, or if you're sharing your phone with, generally, I guess it'd be minor children, and you want to restrict the websites they can go to. You don't want young children to be surfing the web at will, believe me. Okay, the next menu item is
Home.
And this is where you configure what your Home button will do upon a double tap of it, the Home button being the only single button on the device that's just below or just beneath the display screen when you're holding the iPhone in a vertical position. By default, tapping the Home screen twice will take you to the Favorites menu, but you can change that to either bring up the camera, go directly to a search. There are a few things you can adjust here. That's a very simple menu item. I recommend for those of you who are getting used to the iPhone, leave it set at the default because you can do a lot with the favorite. Okay, the next item is going to be the date and time menu, and you can set the date and time to be displayed as 24-hour kind of military clock or not, and mine is currently set to the 12 hours.
24-hour time, switch off.
I'm not using the 24-hour time. The only other button on here is whether you want to have the clock set automatically or not. I recommend that you leave it set to set automatic, and this is what it sounds like in VoiceOver.
Set automatically. Switch on.
So it's a pretty simple menu item. Okay, the next item is for the keyboard settings. So I'm in general, and now I'm going to go down to keyboard.
Keyboard.
I'm going to open up this menu item. Okay, let's look at some items that we have in here.
Auto correction. Switch on.
So you can have it so that the iPhone 3GS will anticipate or give suggestions as you type. The next item that you can select,
auto capitalization,
is automatically capitalize the first letter after any period or the first letter in a sentence. It'll also, if you ever put the letter I, assuming that you're typing in English, by itself, it will always make it an uppercase I.
Auto capitalization. Switch on. Double tapping the space bar will insert a period follow period shortcut.
Now this one's called the period shortcut. Again, I use it a great deal. It's very convenient. And it means that when you're ready to put a period, instead of having to go to the keyboard and type in a period followed by a space, simply hit the space bar twice, and that will issue the command to put a period and to move to the next next sentence.
International keyboards.
I have not experimented with international keyboards since I only know how to use really one, and that happens to be the one that the phone ships with in this country by default, so it all works out just right. Okay, after keyboard, you will have an international menu.
International button.
Under international, you can set things like the format for the date. This is where you would definitely set what language you'll be using on the phone and some other international settings. The next item under the general menu has got to be my favorite, which is the accessibility menu item.
Accessibility.
I'm going to enter that. This is where we engage VoiceOver. Let's see what it says here. Let me actually go through it.
Accessibility. VoiceOver on button.
Okay, obviously VoiceOver's on.
Zoom off. Button.
The zoom is off.
White on black.
Again, I'm not using that, but that's a very useful feature for many people.
Mono audio.
mono audio, it'll take both channels of any stereo signal and put it through to one headphone. Again, this is documented fully in the user's guide, but just to let you know, this is where it would be for those of you who may purchase the phone in a store and may want the salespeople to turn it on for you. They may not know where it is, so you can simply say, go to Settings, General, Accessibility, and then they can select the appropriate option for you. The next menu item under General is the
Profile, US AT&T.
Profile button. I suggest that you leave this alone. It's already set for you AT&T customers, so we won't go into that here. The next menu item is the Reset. Let's go into that. Now, be very careful here because you don't want to erase your phone. But you do have some useful items to take note of.
Reset all settings.
You can reset all the settings. You wouldn't want to do that unless you're really ready.
Erase all content and settings.
Erase all content and settings.
Reset network settings.
Reset network settings. This would be for those of you who may encounter any kind of problems with your visual voicemail, any kind of networking problem whatsoever. Sometimes it can help to reset it.
Reset keyboard dictionary.
You have a suggestion dictionary. And this is where you would reset it back to the factory default.
Reset home screen layout.
And here's the one that I've been thinking about doing, but haven't yet. And that's where you can very easily reset the home screen layout to put it back to where it was when you got the phone. So that's why when we do cover how to customize the home screen, you can customize it well because you know there's a button here that will put it right back to how you started.
Reset location warnings.
Reset location warnings will give you all the necessary warnings about giving out your location, what can happen when that happens. So just, again, you're just putting things back to the way they were when you got the phone. Reset was definitely the last one under General. Now, we're moving down from the General menu.
Mail. Contacts. Calendars.
Mail, contacts, and calendars. Let's take a quick look at that. Okay, under the mail section of this is where you're going to set up any new email accounts.
Show 50 recent messages.
This is saying that when I open up any mail account, it will give me the most recent 50 messages. You can adjust this.
Preview, none.
I don't really like that very much, but I can see how some people might.
Minimum font size, medium, show to CC label, ask before deleting, switch, on.
Okay, so it always, whenever I'm going to delete anything, it'll say, are you sure you want to delete this? And because sometimes I inadvertently press things or I'm not thinking, I really like having this one last opportunity to not delete it.
Load remote images. Switch off.
For speed's sake, I usually have this turned off.
Always BCC myself. Switch off.
Again, these are just giving you different options that you can do from when you're ready to send sending email.
Signature sent from my iPhone.
That's the default signature, and you can select whether to change that or to append that to all of your email outgoing emails, which is called the signature.
Default account. Messages created outside of mail will be sent from the default account. Contact.
Now we're into contacts.
Sort order. Last. First.
And you can tell from this, it's pretty straightforward. I have mine sorted last name to first name.
Import SIM contacts. Calendars.
Under calendars.
New invitation alerts.
New invitation alerts.
Sync. Events 1 month back.
When you decide to sync your calendar with a PC or mobile me, you can decide how far back appointments should be synced. Very useful. You know, when I first got the iPhone, I used to keep my calendars synced as far as 2 months back, but it just didn't work out. It looks kind of messy, and 2 months in the past, I really don't care. I always have it on the computer anyway, so I usually have mine generally set for just 1 day in the past. Keeps a nice, clean calendar. I'm just, like I said, scrolling down the menu so you can hear what you will encounter.
Time zone support, Cupertino.
Time zone support. I happen to be in the same state as Apple.
Default calendar, calendar, button.
You can have different calendars, a lot of choices.
New events created outside of a calendar will be added to this calendar by default.
So that's all for that. It's pretty straightforward. Just a few things. The only thing I've done is turn off the previews. I really don't like seeing previews in text messages or in any kind of emails. But some people do. That's an option for you. Okay, the next menu item is going to be the phone menu item. It's pretty straightforward also. This is where you will configure your call forwarding, call waiting, your caller ID, whether you choose to display it or not. That's a very important setting for many of us, so make sure you go through that. It's hard for me to go through it with the airplane mode on because it won't let me enter it unless I turn the airplane mode off. And when I do that, I start getting this humming noise, you know, that little sound. And I start getting inundated with messages and phone calls. So, but it's pretty self-explanatory. There's nothing in there that you won't understand. For those of you who may need a TTY, or if you know someone who could need a transcription type device for the hearing impaired, you do have your TTY configuration options under this menu as well. Okay, the next item is for Safari. entered on Safari, and the first item inside of the Safari settings menu option is to select the type of search engine that you want Safari to use. And I have mine currently set to
Google.
Set to Google.
Autofill off.
Autofill is off.
JavaScript switch on.
Button. And this will determine whether the JavaScript is enabled or not on Safari.
Plugins, block pop-ups, accept cookies from visited. Clear history.
Here's one you might want to use, clear history. Very useful to keep the Safari web browser, keep it ship-shape and Bristol fashion. The next menu item is the Photos menu configuration. And again, I'll scroll through it.
Slideshow.
You can configure the slideshow settings.
Play each slide for 3 seconds. Button. Transition. Dissolve. Repeat.
So you got some very...
Switch. Off. Button.
Not very sophisticated settings in here, but enough to tweak it a little bit. The next item is the messages for SMS messages.
Messages, button, messages, select, settings, button.
And we'll go through it so you can get an idea.
Messages, show preview, switch, off, button.
Again, I have my preview switched off. Otherwise, if you have it on, when you receive a text message, not only will you see who the text is from, you'll get the first two lines of the message, which for many cases may be the only two lines of the message. But again, I like to leave this off.
Repeat alert, switch, on, button.
Repeat alerts you can enable, and that means that it will repeat up to twice, I think, and then it won't repeat any longer. And we can actually have VoiceOver tell us this, I think.
If you ignore a message, you will be alerted twice more.
So there you have it for the messages menu item. The next menu item will be for the iPod, or the iPod application, rather.
iPod. Music. Shake to shuffle.
Yeah, I have this turned off as a shake to shuffle feature, which means if you're playing a song from a playlist or an album or a group of files, when you shake it, it will automatically shuffle the songs and come up with a new song. You can disable this feature, which I have. There's also an equalizer in here, and you can turn that on and off. And it says EQ, and for VoiceOver users, EQ on or EQ off. This is also where you'll set the type of television signal that if you want to plug a cable, adaptive cable from the iPhone, or in this case, you'll play it from the iPod application to a display screen or a television. You can configure that here.
White screen, TV signal, NTSC, button. White screen, TV out. Closed captioning, switch, off, button.
And of course, we have closed captioning. It's available for us.
Closed caption, start playing, from beginning, button. Video, volume limit, off, button.
Volume limits are off. So there are some really neat features inside this menu item that you can configure, experiment with until you get comfortable. The last default menu in the settings area is the iTunes Store settings. And this is where you'll configure your password, login password, and set up your account. You can do this on your computer, of course, and you can do it on the phone. And that's really all there is to it. It's really quite simple, very user-friendly, and I think it is very intuitive. So have a good time configuring that. Good luck with it. And we will be back again soon with more specific help for specific applications on the iPhone 3GS. My name is Mark Taylor, and for all things Candleshore, I suggest that you go to the Candleshore blog at candleshoreblog.com. You can send me an email at musicman@candleshore.com. Remember to make a joyful noise this week. See you back here soon. Okay. And this girl